today on Real Life Radio.
Because all of a sudden in my life and in your life, God placed you and I right in the middle of it all, did he not? Those of us who are Christians, did he not interrupt our lives? And is that not the sovereign act of our God to interrupt our lives? He does it in all kinds of things.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, you got to admit, there's nothing like a good story. What's even better is that we have access to the greatest story ever told in the pages of the Bible. The new year is right around the corner, and what could be better than to read the Bible together? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It's why December's Book of the Month is the one-year Bible. As a church family, we'll experience the entire Bible in one unforgettable year in as little as 15 minutes a day. And don't worry if you miss a day or a week for that matter. Just begin again on the current day so that we're all on the same page. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, It's the Cross. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, can do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 23, we'll consider the cross and how it was unique to Christianity. You see, those who believe in Jesus embrace the cross. There's no salvation without the cross, no heaven. Everything that we need for eternal life was purchased by Jesus at the cross. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that when Jesus says if we don't take up the cross daily and follow him, we cannot be his disciple, he's saying that we need to love him more than anyone or anything. Now, with his message called It's the Cross, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, this amazing chapter 23, chapter 24, the cross, the resurrection, the atonement for our sins, the greatest news the world has ever known and shall ever know. And Lord, I pray that this morning that we would just wake up out of our complacency and out of our comforts. And Lord, that we would be excited that we are people that are not Capricorns or Taurus or whatever those zodiac pagan signs are. People make mention of those things. Nope, not us. We are people of the cross. Our sign's the cross. Our sins were judged at the cross. And so this morning I pray that you would open up our eyes to understand what all that means. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yep, Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 26. Mark it in your Bible. Little bit of introduction as we look to the title this morning. And it is this, it's the cross. That's the title. Church, it's the cross that Luke begins to mention all the way through now for a good portion of these next several weeks ahead of us. It's all about the cross. It's the fact that the cross has brought you and I into the presence of God. It's the cross. If somebody were to ask you today, on what basis, how does Jesus Christ forgive our sins? How does God excuse you and I of our sins? The answer is the cross. It's the cross. And so by preparation of our hearts, we need to understand something, that the events that are leading us up to the crucifixion, it is an amazing thing to realize that as we go now to Luke, it's also in Matthew and Mark and John where there's a tremendous overlay of what the Bible has to say about these events. Very, very much, I would say technicolor, in that it is reported from different angles from the four different gospel writers. But more than that, even in the Old Testament, we know that as Jesus approaches the cross, Isaiah 52, 14 says that just as many were astonished or appalled at him, that is the coming of Messiah. Remember, this is written over 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah prophesied that people would be appalled at his presence. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. The Bible prophesying that as Jesus, before he even gets to the cross, will be severely mistreated. And then at his second coming, if that wasn't enough, his second coming when Christ returns, have you ever thought about this? In Zechariah 13, verse 6, the Bible says there that someone will ask, what are these wounds in your body? And he will answer, that is the Messiah will answer in the second coming, These are the wounds that were given to me in the house of my friends. Did you ever think about that? The Bible says in the second coming of Christ, when Jesus returns, Israel is going to ask him, where'd you get these wounds in your body? Well, he got those wounds in Israel some 2,000 years ago. These are the wounds that we're reading about in our scripture today and what we're learning about regarding the cross. And then in eternity, throughout all eternity, the Christian in heaven is going to be reminded of what Jesus did for us at the cross. In Revelation 5, verse 6, the Bible says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Jesus Christ sacrificed, and it all happened at the cross. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 26. "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women whom also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and the breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?'" Verse 32. "There are also two others, criminals, led him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary or Golgotha, Mount Moriah, they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots." That's as far as we'll get today, verse 34. Church, mark it down if you would. We're going to look at five simple things this morning that speak to us about the significance of the cross. Church, I want to encourage you over the next several weeks as we study the cross that you embrace the cross for a lot of reasons. There is no heaven without the cross. There's no salvation without the cross. Everything that you and I need an answer to is found at the cross. Love is displayed at the cross. The guarantee that you will actually inherit eternal life is purchased at the cross. In fact, the cross is absolutely so unique to Christianity, as we shall see by the time we come to the end of this message, that you have great reason, listen, you have great reason to boast in the cross. If you don't understand the cross, then stay tuned. But by all means, get the understanding of the cross, for without it, there is no hope of eternal life. There's no guarantee that you'll see God. It is the cross that is, as it were, the pivot point of all of history. Those of ancient times look forward to the cross. Those of us on this end look back to the cross. If the universe has a target, it would be the cross. It's amazing. So number one, regarding the cross and the uniqueness of Christianity and the cross, in verses 26 to 27 is this. Number one, it's the cross that's embraced by those who believe. You've got to embrace the cross if you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. It says, "Now as they led him away," that is those of the Roman Empire, those that were given the dispatch, those that presided over this, "that they lay hold of a certain man, a Cyrenian, Simon is his name, who was coming from the country." That is that he was sleeping outside the city of Jerusalem. He's a stranger. He's from Cyrene. See, where is Cyrene? Very quickly, he's from North Africa. This man has traveled 800 miles because it's Passover season. He's made his pilgrimage. A Jew would hope at least once in his lifetime to make it to Passover there in Jerusalem. Perhaps this man has put his money together. Maybe his family sent him. We don't know. But he's a Cyrenian. His name's Simon. He's a North African. Today, he would be from the area of Libya, from Tripoli specifically, is where ancient Cyrene was. He would be a man of dark skin. He would be a black man, a North African. And he's come to Jerusalem. He's Jewish. And he's come to worship Passover. He just wants to come and celebrate what for him as a Jew would have been the most glorious event of his life. And so he's come from outside the city limits. When it says he's come from the country, he's come in now to the city to worship the Lord. Little does he know how his life will change forever, and that we, 2,000 years later, would be reading about him today. And we have a lot of that we can share about this man's life. We'll mention a few things about it, but it's an amazing thing because the Bible tells us here that they laid the cross of Jesus upon him. What they would have done is they would have laid the crossbar. Imagine in your eye right now, there's the cross, the upright vertical beam. That's not what the man is carrying. He's carrying the T part of the beam. They lay it upon this man, Simon. Jesus is carrying the cross, and at some point in time, we know from the other Gospels that it's too much for him to bear. Why? Because of what I read in Isaiah. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was mutilated. The loss of blood. Jesus is walking, and it's too much for him to bear. And so the Roman centurion would have taken out his sword and laid it on the shoulder. And by the way, when a Roman centurion lays the flat part of his sword on your shoulder, you must comply with his demand. So the Roman soldier, when Jesus no doubt fell down, the soldier looks around and he takes out his sword and he taps the shoulder of this Cyrenian, Simon. And all of a sudden now he is enlisted in carrying the cross. He's going to embrace the cross, as it were. And on him the cross is laid. And I'm wondering at that moment, think about this for a second, church. At a distance now, we know that the disciples to some degree are following, they're watching, because they wind up being at the foot of the cross. I'm wondering what they're thinking. In the matter of the last hours that have taken place, Jesus is now arrested and beaten, and now he's been tried and convicted, and he's being taken out to be crucified. And this man, who's a stranger, is now carrying the cross. I wonder if in the disciples' minds, this doesn't come to their mind. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus had told them earlier, and then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I wonder if that was in their minds. I think if you would see this event, that you would be thinking of that, carrying the cross. This man is carrying literally the cross of Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 says, "Now a great multitude was with him, and he turned and he said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not,'" listen, "'hate,'" the word is love less. "'If anyone comes to me and does not love less his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" Jesus is saying that if you're going to come and follow me as a Christian, you are to take up your cross and follow me. And Jesus had been preaching that. He had been teaching that. And now all of a sudden, there's a real man carrying the real cross behind Jesus. This is amazing to me. And I'm trying to put myself into the feet of the disciples, wondering what they're thinking. Oh my goodness. Jesus told us that we need to pick up our cross and follow him daily. And that trip was a one-way trip. No one returned from Roman crucifixion. It was a death sentence. Jesus isn't being mean when he says you got to love everyone less. He's not being rude. He's saying, you know what? There's going to come a time in life when what I'm going to do for you at the cross, church, listen, friends, listen. Jesus is saying what I'm going to do for you at the cross will so trump anything that you need in this life that everyone else in your life must come second, third, fourth, or fifth. Listen, Jesus, I love this. Jesus cannot be number one on a list of 10. Jesus has to be number one on a list of one. Do you love your wife? Yes, I do. Do you love your husband? Yes, I do. Do you love your grandkids? Yes, I do. Do you love your kids? Absolutely. Do you love your parents? Great. Jesus said, if you really want to love them the way they ought to be loved, then love God first. Love God with everything you got. Come to him bearing your cross and say, Lord, all of my aspirations, all of my dreams, all of my plans, all of my future, I lay at your feet. God, I want to live for you. And I believe life will be lived for him. But note this, Simon is now carrying this Roman T portion of the cross in Jesus' place. And it's a perfect picture to me of the Christian life, that we are to embrace the cross. Believers must embrace the cross. The amazing thing to me is, what did Simon believe at that moment? I love the way God works in our lives. We have rules in our minds. Don't you think for a moment, well, you know, if I can just get my friend to the crusade and he goes forward, he's going to get saved. He could. But you know what? Some people get saved looking at a butterfly. Some people come to know Christ when they get the note from the doctor that they got cancer. Some people come to know Christ when they see, as I have some friends who saw the birthing of their child. They were unbelievers. The baby came out in the delivery room and the father fell down He didn't pass out. He fell down on his knees and said, "There is a God," at the birthing of his child, and came to know the Lord. God reaches us in all kinds of different ways, does he not?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The night I met Jesus, I had no plans to meet Jesus. I wasn't even thinking God thoughts. I was thinking bad thoughts. And God interrupted my life in an instant. He gets your attention. Here's this man, Simon, and all of a sudden, he finds himself in the middle of an execution. And yet God was going to work a great work in his life. Simon is now walking in what is the famous Via Della Rosa, the way of the cross. In a couple of months, some of us will walk on portions of the Via Della Rosa there in Jerusalem. It's a beautiful walk, narrow. Nothing's changed much in thousands of years. Jesus would have been going down that cross. And by the way, based upon Roman rule, that the convicted criminal was to take the longest route from the point of judgment to the area of crucifixion, whatever was designated. There were various locations of crucifixion because Rome crucified so many people. There would be an appointment made. We'll take this group of criminals to that area today. Whatever the area of destination was given by the Roman leader regarding crucifixion, the convicted criminal had to take the longest route to that point. And so Jesus is walking in what we now know as the Via Della Rosa, and Simon is now carrying the cross. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this world or age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." Here's a man carrying a cross. Church, are you with me? I know it's early, and I know it's foggy and cold, but listen up. This guy's walking along, probably thinking, "What in the world? I didn't come to Jerusalem for this. How did I get in this mess?" And he's walking along, and we know this from history, both religious, biblical, and secular history, that he would have been walking, carrying the portion of the cross. Now watch. Jesus would have been just in front of him. There would have been a Roman centurion to this man's left shoulder, to this man's right shoulder. That places these Roman centurions just behind Jesus, but in front of him. And in front of Jesus are two other Roman centurions. Jesus is quartered by four Roman guards. Are you with me in your mind's eye? Do you see that? In front of these guys is a Roman centurion carrying a placard of the guilt charge. What is the guy guilty of? Was it robbery? It would have said, written in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, what the guy's crime was. And so this man comes along. He's the first one. Then it's the two centurions quartering him. Then it's Jesus. Then the two other centurions. And then right behind him is now Simon carrying the cross. Why do I point that out? Because Simon is hearing all of the jeering, all of the things that we know is taking place from other scriptures. They're spitting on Jesus. They're cursing him. Some are weeping. Most are cursing. He's bleeding. Can you imagine the blood trail? The spit, the hatred, the foul language, the cursing. All this is going on. And here's a man who's come, as it were, in a sense, to vacation and worship in Jerusalem. And he's right in the middle of it all. I love that. Because all of a sudden in my life and in your life, God placed you and I right in the middle of it all. Did he not? Those of us who are Christians, did he not interrupt our lives? And is that not the sovereign act of our God to interrupt our lives? He does it in all kinds of things. I don't know why, but most often, doesn't have to be exclusively so, but most often it's time of tragedy. We don't listen well unless we are in a time of tragedy. It's just the way that we're wired. We're stubborn people. When we're happy and content, most often we're not listening. And then an earthquake comes, either emotionally or physically or spiritually, and God gets our attention. And the Bible warns us not to be wise in our own opinion in this age, that we'd rather be fools for Christ. Amen? To follow him, to know him. So Simon, this Cyrenian, the Bible tells us about this guy, a little bit of background that in Acts chapter 6, it tells us that there was a Cyrenian synagogue in Jerusalem. They would have spoken his language. They would have worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but in his own language. And so he's there for Passover. The Bible also tells us in Mark's gospel that Simon the Cyrenian, he had two sons. This is cool, listen. Later on, we find out that he has two sons. Alexander and Rufus are his sons. The Bible tells us that his wife was a notable believer in the early church. All of a sudden, we know something. Guess what? This is cool. The guy has come from Cyrene. He's worshiping the Lord. He doesn't understand that. See, what do you mean he's worshiping the Lord? Well, he's come to worship in Judaism, but he winds up meeting the God of the Jews. He doesn't realize at the outset that the God of the Jews is walking right in front of him on his way to execution. The Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. He's walking behind him. Something must have happened because the Bible speaks later on that his sons are well known and his wife. Do you think for a moment, church, hypothetically, I think we're on safe ground though, that this man must have gotten saved? Amen. That this man must have went home and told his family either back in Libya today, in North Africa, or he just sent a memo, or he called them up, and he said, you guys need to move here because we just found God. We do know this, that he had two sons that were notable in the church and a wife that loved the Lord. This man was changed. Why? He embraced the cross. You say, well, Jackie, of course I see that, but he actually literally embraced the cross. And I want to say that according to Jesus, you and I literally every day as believers embrace the cross. Don't think just because you can't physically see a cross that you're somehow not embracing it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called It's the Cross. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So this is one of those times I get to sit down in the studio with my good friend, Pastor Jack. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good?
I'm doing good, David.
You're doing good, and for the same reason that I'm doing good. It's Christmas. We're coming up on Christmas. Isn't it great?
Yeah, more sweeter now than maybe ever with the way the world is going, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Christmas, just, and if it's just, it's not that it's Christmas as a day.
Yeah.
It's about all that it represents, the fact that for the believer, Christ coming means something to us every day of the year.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, and so today's one of those days, or Christmas is that time of the season where the world has got to stop and consider. They either believe in him or they don't, but it's an awesome time.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but at this time of year, I feel like we've come to the end of another race. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Absolutely. I mean,
it seems like, oh, good, we've done it. Because we started out the year with, you know, a great attitude and great plans, and some come about and some don't. What would you say this time of year as an encouragement to our Real Life Radio listeners?
I think what I would say is that, and you're right, it's the end of the year and it's the beginning of a new year. I have to say personally that over the last this would be the third year now, on January 1st, where I can bear testimony to the fact that what I thought would be really awesome to see God do, wouldn't it be amazing if he succeeded all those things? So I would encourage you guys this way, that Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So I would expect God to do things in your life, my life, that is beyond description. I want God to move in my life in such a way where I cannot explain it.
Yeah.
He's been doing that, so I expect him to keep doing it so long as I stay out of the way, right?
That's true.
And so I'm thrilled. As a pastor, the type of ministry that we're involved in, it's literally nonstop. My body is so fatigued. I'm physically thrashed,
right,
from so much ministry and stuff and all of the stuff that surrounds it. But please, none of you, don't feel sorry for me and don't say, oh, you need to take a rest. I mean, I do need to take a rest. My point is this: you can get so caught up in what you're doing that you are tired body, soul, and spirit. Or you can do what God has called you to do and be tired physically, but your spirit and your soul can be renewed daily.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at, and that's where we ought to be at, I do believe, because though my outward man's perishing, the Bible says our inward man is being renewed, and I think the one-year Bible experience. If you've never done it before, friend, join us on January 1st. Get your copy, get it ready, and just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner, and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
And literally on the same page, right?
Absolutely.
So you can pick up your copy of the 1 Year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.